Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. This is Saint Rick coming to you live here on this beautiful Sunday. We are apologizing to all of you who were looking for us for the last couple of weeks or so. It is my fault. I have been out of the pocket. I've been in some training away in some conferences, and we do not have remote set up at this point, but I'm sure due to your gracious love and gifts to us, we will continue to grow. And if God puts it on your heart to be a part of this, we really, really, really want to tell you thank you in advance, because we know God provides for all and always will. If you do want to partner with us, it's P.O. Box 77, P.O. Box 77, Macon, Illinois 62544. That's P.O. Box 77, Macon, M-A-C-O-N, Illinois 62544. And some of you remember P.O. Box 55, Mount Zion, Illinois 62549. That's still good as well. P.O. Box 55, Mount Zion, Illinois 62549. Or you can go on our website and click donate. That works as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited about today because the world, you ever heard one of the states, I think it's Missouri, where they say they're the show me state? Mm-hmm. Well, with me is Albert Delgado from South Carolina, my partner here. And Albert, the show me state, they're not going to believe it until they
see it.
Till they see it. That's different than the economy of God. God is not like that. God is the opposite of that. He's looking for children who love him and believe in him, regardless of what they see with their fleshly eyes, what they hear with their fleshly ears, so on and so forth. But if you turn on the TV anywhere, any place right now, the news is all about fleshly this, fleshly that. I saw Trump last night from Donald, or I saw a Twitter tweet from Donald Trump last night regarding, you know, the Comey situation, blah, 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 blah. And he talked about the fake news. And I said, yes, let's focus on the real news. That's God sent his only son to die on the cross for you so that you may accept and receive him and live eternally. And I tweeted that back under Donald Trump. I don't know if he ever read it or not. But the thing it is, the real news is the spiritual news. You can focus on the flesh news or you can focus on God news. Granted, we are very well aware that there's a minority right now focusing on the God news. We know that. The majority is focusing on the world news, the flesh news, the Comey news, the Hillary news, the CNN news, the attack Donald Trump news, the save Donald Trump news. It goes on both sides. It's back and forth. And they're all talking about, like, it's all hinging on what happens in Washington, D.C. It's the capital of the world. I'm sorry, but Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world, and it is God, and you're the new Jerusalem. It's really an amazing thing to see how the world is so over here, and the truth is on the other side. It's in the spirit realm. And even with people that I love and I care about, I see them so focused on this other stuff and other news agencies that put information out there, even Christian news agencies, they're so focused on what happens in the world. And you're not going to fix it unless you pray. Your prayer is your spiritual language that God can go forth and do things upon the request of the saints. He intervenes for us. He's our dad. And if enough of us get together and continually to pray, he intervened. I believe that's what happened last election, to be honest with you. very, very, very weird, but it was awesome. I mean, it was just great how it all came together. We here are focused on the real news, and that is God's holy news. And what we're going to do is we're going to go there now to Hebrews chapter 11. So let's define faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, Albert, what is your take on that, and how can we apply that?
Well, Rick, you know, the Bible talks about the same thing, you know, in a different way. It talks about that when Nicodemus was talking to Christ, and Christ was trying to explain to Nicodemus about the Spirit, and also the sons of God. And the way that he tried to explain it, I'm going to just simplify it right now. He says, listen, you know, the Spirit moves, and it moves also in the sons of God, and you don't know where it started from or where it's ending, but sometimes you could see things that are occurring, but sometimes you might not see them. Like, for instance, what he says, that, you know, the wind comes from one side to the other one, but to the other side, but you don't see the wind. Now, you don't know, you could feel the direction of the wind and where it's going sometimes by leaves falling and by the pressure that you feel from the wind and all that, but you don't know where it's going and you don't know where it came from. And sometimes you don't know what it actually does. And that's why he says with the people of the Spirit, which is the church, the ecclesia, and also with the Spirit itself. So sometimes, you know, most of the times you have to walk by the faith that God is working and God is doing things, but sometimes we cannot see what he's doing or when he started it or when he's going to end things. So we have to walk in that faith that he is who he is, and he's doing everything for our good, and that we're not going to see everything in our lives that is occurring that he's doing for our good. So that takes faith. It takes faith. Sometimes he does that with people that you don't imagine that he will be using. I mean, you could see that throughout the whole Bible, and Christians say, that even like what you were saying, that Donald Trump was put in there as a person who nobody will think that God might be using. But there's different people at different times, in different situations, at different times throughout the whole Bible that God uses. And it's beyond us why he used that person. It's beyond us why he used that time. Like, for instance, there was a controversial movie back in the 70s. It was first a show, you know, about Jesus Christ, you know, being at that time crucified, like if he came in the 60s and all that, you know. And one of the things, one of the speech that's supposed to be the devil there saying it, he was talking to Jesus that, why did you pick such an awkward time? You know, that you could have come in another time when we had this and we had that and so forth, you know, and that's the same argument that everybody has with God all the time. Why did you pick this person? Why did you pick this time? You know, and it's all based on faith. Either we believe that God is all knowing and he's doing everything for our good, or we don't believe that. So it's based on that faith. Now, it's not a blind faith, because we have throughout history the things that God has done for his people, including the sacrifice that he did for his people to prove to people that he's all for us and he loves us and that he's doing everything to help us.
Well, Nicodemus was a great example, because he was living in the flesh and Jesus was trying to talk in the spirit, and you can see the conflict in that. And that's John chapter 3. And as we go there, it says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. So he was doing it at night because he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees. But he knew something was up. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, a lot of people confuse this born of water thing here, meaning this is how you have to be baptized. And he says you need to be born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what happens when a woman's getting ready to have a baby? The water breaks, right? Mm-hmm. That which is born of flesh, water, is flesh. And that which is born of spirit, spirit, is spirit. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows, as you said earlier, Albert, where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So you cannot tell where they come from or where they go, but they are there. They're in the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Isn't that amazing how Nicodemus was just back and forth in the flesh, right? Well, that brings us to Jesus is talking about faith. So we have to believe in him. And what is it we have to believe in him? Well, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we go there, we have to believe the following. This is the most succinct description of the gospel in the entire Bible, and it's done in just a few verses. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare you the what? The gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." Where do we stand? In the gospel. "By which also you are saved." By what? The gospel. "If you hold fast that word that I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Well, what was it that he preached? Here it is. "For I delivered to you in order." Here he goes. "First of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." That's one. "And that he was buried." That's two. "And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That is the gospel. That is the most succinct part in the Bible that really goes through what is the gospel, mm-hmm, and that you have to believe. Okay? So as we go back to Hebrews, we have to believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose the third day. That is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Did we personally witness Jesus dying? No. Or buried. Or resurrected. So we have to believe that and take that, even though, and we do have evidence. I mean, there is evidence around the world that Jesus existed, and they found more evidence of that. It literally stacks up miles high in the sky of book evidence that he existed. And the next book only stacks 3 to 4 feet. That's second place. That's it. So there's more evidence of that than there is of any other person in history of all time, period, end of statement. For by the elders obtain a good testimony. For it. For what? For by what? Faith. For by faith the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Not one world, worlds. There are many worlds that are out there. By faith, go ahead.
Yeah, and Rick, when it says the word of God, we have to understand that that word is Christ, and that word became flesh.
Yes, he is the word. And by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Why? It was blood. Without blood, there is no remission of sin, right? So you have to have sacrifice, and the sacrifice was blood. He understood that. Where Cain, through which he obtained witnesses, and you know, I'm uncovering new evidence. You know, I'm saying it here on the radio, but hey, that's okay. I'm uncovering new evidence that Cain may have been a seed of Satan. And it's really interesting how there's some things that are being unearthed that could be. But, and it talks about it in Genesis, actually. And then you go back down through Genesis and you read it. Ooh, yeah, it's right there. You know, it's kind of interesting how, the, you know, he was tempted. And when you look up those words, when she was tempted by Satan, there's sexual connotation there. And that's actually part of the Greek or the Hebrew words that float around there. Haven't got my mind all around it yet, but I do know the tree of knowledge of good and evil is basically right and wrong, the law kind of thing. But there's some sexual connotation there that then immediately she is having two kids, Cain and Abel at the same time. And there is I looked it up, there's a science term for a seed of two different men being born at the same time. There's actually a term of that. So it's kind of interesting. Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts through it. Through what? Through faith, he being dead still speaks. So in other words, Abel still speaks even though he's dead. Kind of interesting. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Here's the thing that gets me about all this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not a punisher. A what? A rewarder. Right? Just as your father is going to reward you. Have you ever had a history where one of your kids just thinks you're just there to punish them and they don't understand how much you're there to bless them? Have you ever had that happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And imagine how our father must feel, who has the ability to give us anything and everything of all time. And we're thinking all the time, or most of the world is thinking, that he's there to punish them. I'm there to punish you. I'm there to punish you. No, he's there to bless. The more we give the testimony to God about, like, my business, my blessings, my family, my friends, my life, my ministry that God has allowed me to be a part of, the more he will continue to honor and bless you, because he wants his word out there. He wants his son out there. He wants to boldly go forth with what? The gospel. And it's not even our faith. It's his faith that got us there. Now it's our faith to continue to believe in him. That's it. to believe in him, nothing else. Even Noah, by faith, divinely warned of things not seen. Noah didn't know. Imagine somebody coming to you and saying, hey, there's going to be a flood. This isn't a regular flood. It's going to cover the whole earth. And you better get building this ark thing. And here's some plans, and I want you to get started. And it's going to take you decades to build this thing. But you got to get going at it. Okay? Okay, let's go. That's difficult. Can you imagine today? That would be very, very difficult. But you just got to believe what God's telling you. He moved with godly fear, prepared for an ark. There's a godly fear. What is a godly fear? When we look this up, let me find this here. Moved with fear. Here it is. They just called it a godly fear, but really, it's this word here. And when we look this up, it's pronounced Yulabe Amahi, middle voice, to be circumcised or circumspect, to be apprehensive, religiously, reverence. Moved with fear. It's in awe. It's like an awe. It's like I'm in awe of God, and I got to do this thing, man, because I can't even imagine not doing this in any way, shape, or form. And when you look at the lexicon, to act cautiously, circumspectly, to be aware, fear, to reverence, stand in, there it is, stand in awe of God. So you are personally just in awe of his request, and you've got to do this thing, and you're thinking, okay, here I go, right? Here's what gets me. Everybody who says they have no faith in God, they have faith. But it's in something else. It's in themselves. It's in Buddha. It's in Islam. It's in CNN.
You have to believe in something.
You have to believe in something. So, Albert, let's look at it like this. Let's say you're totally fleshly human. You're totally flesh. And you got to roll the dice. And here's your options. Option one, if I make any mistake, I'm condemned to hell. That's under the old law, Testament. Islam is the same. Mm-hmm. I had a long conversation with a gentleman from Islam, and I look at the Quran and stuff, and you make mistakes, you got to do something. Yeah. Well, what if you forget one? I asked him, and he says, well, then you hope God is merciful. But that's not what your Bible says. Mm-hmm. You can't forget to do this. You got to do this. Just like the law, right?
Yeah. They're basically going by Mosaic laws, too.
It's all Mosaic laws, exactly. So that's an option. The other option is you don't believe in any of that. You don't believe in, let's just say you just choose not to believe in Christ, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Mosaic laws, you don't believe in anything. I believe that I can do what I want to do, and there's no recompense to it. And when I die, I'm going wherever in the dust, man, and that's it. So might as well live as best as you can while you're here. Okay, what if on any of those circumstances and options that you have, what if you're wrong? What are the consequences if you're wrong? They're eternal.
I find, Rick, that most of those people that say that they don't believe in something, they actually do that. What they do is they believe in themselves.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, they believe in themselves. So they actually believe in something, but they don't believe in something else. They believe in themselves to do things.
Why do you think they believe in themselves? What's the reason, you think?
Well, Rick, you know, there's a lot of this world always from the garden has always tried to express to man that his identity is based in something else rather than God, whether it be yourself. That's why, you know, it's very easy for man to go back to the law, because the law, really what you're doing is that you're believing in yourself. That's what the law does. What the law does is that when you look at the law, you say, I can do that. You see, I'm capable of doing that. I could do it. It's the belief in yourself that you're capable of doing stuff. Even people who don't believe in God, you see them, and some of them, you know, I mean, they behave better sometimes than even the Christians. But they're working again in their strength. And it might be that they do things sometimes better than Christians just because they don't have such an exposure of the law that Christians have. And the law, what it does is it reveals your imperfection of doing it. So when most Christians are no more the old covenant than they do the new covenant. So they know the Ten Commandments, but they don't know the other commandments, but they're into obeying all these commandments. And what they don't know is that all these commandments that they're trying to obey, what it's doing is it's bringing out their imperfection even more. Hmm. So sometimes you see the behavior of people who are not Christians, sometimes a lot better than Christians, because they're not following all these laws. They're agitating their desires to do evil. For instance, if you ask a person, you tell a little kid not to do something, he might not have that in his head to do that, what you just told him not to do. So what you just did is that you agitated him to do it. Don't grab the ball. Oh, there he goes. He's going to grab the ball. You know, don't go on the street. There he goes. He goes out on the street. You see? So that's the problem with the law. And that's the problem that Christians are facing. And so when the outside world sees us, they see that there's something wrong, because what we're telling them that we are and what we're actually doing is completely different. And since the world is used to seeing everything by the works of the flesh, they could see our imperfection from a million miles, the imperfection of our flesh. So that's the biggest problem of Christian. And the Bible warns us. It warns us in everything, in Corinthians and Hebrews, in Romans. You just continue on through the whole Bible. It even warns us of even the old covenant, the Jews doing the same thing. So it's a warning to all of us, you know. It really is a warning. Hmm.
When we live by faith, we trust God. When we live by our own selfishness, we trust ourselves. You have to choose who you trust. Trust is everything. You know, when you go buy a car, you want to find somebody you can trust. When you want to buy a house, you find someone you can trust. What about when you want to buy eternal life? Do you trust man? Whether it be yourself or another one? Or do you trust him? I implore you to trust him. If you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, repeat after me. Lord, I believe that you were put on a cross and you were killed. I believe that you were buried, and I believe that you rose a third day from me. For my sins. I accept that. I believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you said that right now, you're in the family of God. You are in the family. You are with us forever. And you're a saint. And now you're part of the group that are known as the Saints Arising. God News Network wants you to partner with us by prayer, by finances, however you feel. God will put it on your heart. Everybody has different gifts. Doesn't matter. Spread the news. Send the links everywhere. Go to GodNewsNetwork.com and send it to everybody you know. That's all you got to do. Even if you have no money, you can do that. It's okay. It's about getting the gospel out. It ain't about making bazillions of dollars, because you're the wealth. And that's what we look at. We love you and never forget. The saints truly are rising.